in this Christmas season, actually any Christmas season, we can tend to be like tempted to be as ugly as our Christmas sweaters. Like we can have these ugly motivations, ugly thoughts, ugly words. And what we've done is with this like ugly thoughts that we have can end up being ugly words. So what we said, like first one on, like just as a recap, that first message was do something intentional to help keep you thinking good things. Like, what things are you thankful for? What things have been a blessing to you? And if you recall, if you were here, we had those little wood ornaments that you could write something down on. And I've actually seen some of those around where you've placed them in a place where that they will be a reminder for you. And then ugly thoughts can lead us to ugly words, things that we say to people that we maybe wish we wouldn't have said. So we said, hey, how about this? Go out and say something intentionally good to somebody this week, and hopefully that maybe you did that. And then last week we talked about ugly motivations, which can lead us to ugly actions. Last week we talked about the heart behind the action, and we suggested to anonymously do something for somebody else, anonymously, to do it so that like your motive isn't so that you can get some kind of credit or so that somebody will say good things about you, but just do it. Just do it for the sake of doing it. So I hope you've been practicing some of those things, practical ideas for you to help you not have the ugly sweater life of Christmas. So we need to be mindful of our actions. That's what we're going to talk about today, ugly actions. To be mindful of our actions, no matter what time of year it is, but it happens to be Christmas right now, it's a season where we do make conscious decisions to bless people because of the blessing that God gave us simply by sending his son on earth. We talk about it. It's a season of giving, you know. And it doesn't even matter if you go to a church somewhere. Like, culturally, people just give more this time of year because maybe it's a motivation thing. Maybe it's because they want to be on the nice list for a change. I'll make up for the previous 11 months, but if I give now, I'm just kidding about that. We have the ability to live like Jesus, but too often we end up just living like an ugly Christmas sweater that draws attention to ourselves all the time. What's interesting is at Christmas, we can see both of these at one time. We can see the best of humanity and the worst of humanity. The same people, not all of them, some of the same people who will on a Christmas Eve night, or for us a Christmas Eve night, will light a candle and raise it up and say, this represents the light of Christ living in my heart. Those same people will push over somebody for a PS5 the very next day or have already done that, you know, previously. It's the same people. How do these extremes happen all at once at the same time? The Bible talks about two competing natures that are constantly battling inside the human heart. Our nature inspires us to love people and to live humbly, while the other nature causes us to want to look out only for ourselves while pushing other people down. And this battle begins when we're really young. You can see it in small children. They can have the sweetest, kindest hearts. They can be the best little human beings on the planet and then have an absolute meltdown because you won't let them eat mac and cheese straight off the floor. You know, like they'll just go completely bonkers about the strangest things. And that battle that we see in the hearts of little ones is the same thing that we see in our hearts as adults. The battle, honestly, doesn't get any easier. The Apostle Paul talks to the church at Colossae, the letter to Colossians. It was written to people just like us, people who were just trying to figure out what life looks like for people who are just trying to follow Jesus. Like, isn't that what we do? We're just trying to follow Jesus. That's the key for all of us. We're just trying to make a shift in our lives from what we were to what we are now. We're just trying to do life like Jesus did life. And if we don't try, then we're doomed to live a life of ugly Christmas sweaters all the time. We'll always want to point attention to ourselves rather than bringing the beautiful love of Jesus into the world. And so Advent's meant to be a time for us to slow down, to reflect on the reality of Christ's birth and the reality of his coming again. Advent means coming, so he's going to come again. We need to allow those two truths to change us, to move us to become individuals who love one another really well. So listen to what he says in Colossians. Actually, I'm going to get to that here in a second. Here's the thing. People do crazy things in the name of Christmas. Would you agree? People do crazy things, things that they wouldn't normally do, they do at Christmas time. According to this prestigious website, www.blackfridaydeathcount.com, it's a real thing. You can look it up. There's a lot of violence in the name of Christmas on Black Friday. There's verified links to all of the stats you can see on that website. I looked it all up. Don't worry. I mean, you can go. You can pull out your phone right now. Check me. BlackFridayDeathCount.com. They have links to articles for each of the 17 deaths and 125 injuries since they started keeping track in 2006. And now, yeah, a lot of people die on Black Friday, but 17 died because they were shopping for Christmas, right? So just to get to the right gift, the right deal, the best spot in line, the most attention, whatever it is, people will do crazy things in the name of Christmas. But violence isn't the only area. So I didn't get out to as many places as I wanted to, but I found this gem. I had gone to visit Brian Harkness. We've been praying for Brian. He lives out in Hebron. He has a guy about maybe 10 houses down from him that has this display. This is real. You can see it in Hebron. Every square inch is covered in inflatables. So I asked Melissa, could you go down and take a picture at night for me and show us what it looks like at night? All lit up. Here's another angle because I couldn't get enough of it. Look at that. And they must really love Disney as well. There's a lot of Mickey Mouse over there. And at night, this angle looks like this. Look at that. Isn't it beautiful? It's gorgeous. Yeah, the neighbors hate it. We do crazy things in the name of Christmas. People will cover their houses in inflatables and lights. People will name any other time where that seems rational to do that. But all of us are like, it's Christmas, right? That makes sense that they would do that now. Now, if they did it in April, we might have a little problem with it. But we orient our lives completely around the holiday of Christmas. Normally, rational human beings cover their homes in lights. They buy too many gifts. They wear crazy clothes. They change their schedules. Their attitude changes. The budget changes. The diet changes. We eat differently during the holidays. Why? Because it's Christmas. That's right. And Paul's writing to the Colossians, he's making this plea for the followers of God to reorient their lives in the same kind of way. Reorient your life because it's Christmas, because of Jesus, to be willing to live in a unique and countercultural way because of the love of God for you to send his son to become a human and to live the life we lived and to die the death we die and to become raised again. Paul says there's no excuse for not living life God's way. Here's Colossians 3:17. We used this verse last week. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Everything we do in life, whether it's the words we say, the actions that we do, needs to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. How much of our life? All of it. All of it. Not just at Christmas. All of it. All of our lives should be lived in the name of Jesus. So here's an interesting question. How are you doing with that? If you were to look over the past month, how much of your life is lived based on your relationship with Jesus? If you give a percentage of the words and the deeds that you do in the name of Jesus, what percentage would you give that are centered on Christ? That's for you to determine. And it suddenly didn't, you guys stopped laughing and stuff. Because I think you kind of went, ouch. Because when I wrote it, I went, ouch. Yeah, what if we checked ourselves on that? Paul says to make sure our actions are reflective of the fact that we are grateful for God's grace in our lives. When we give thanks for all that God has already given us, then we are more ready to treat others with love and respect in the name of Jesus. But we have to be intentional about it. It takes the kind of intention that it takes to wear a great Christmas sweater, a great outfit. You don't wake up each day and just naturally do godly actions instead of ugly ones. You have to choose it. You have to make a decision about it. Living the way Paul tells us to live is a lot like choosing which Christmas sweater you want to wear that day. I actually took great care in finding my Christmas sweaters that I was going to present to you throughout Advent. Like, I had to go on Amazon, and I had to choose from all the ones, and which ones were inappropriate. There's tons of those. Find one that was just the right one. I never actually won. I didn't have, find a great one. Anna, where did you find that beautiful thing? Somebody's closet? Oh, is it? She said it was from her mom's closet. I'm sure, Tina, weren't you up here last week? You were in the running. Was it last week or week before? The house is full of them over there. So you have choice. You have to choose which one you're going to wear. You have to pick your outfit. You got to, or as the kids say these days, your fit. Do you never hear them call it that? They do in high school. Your fit. Pick your outfit. Pick your fit. No matter what kind of crazy sweater someone chooses to wear, they picked it. You chose that. Paul writes to the Colossians and give them this insight for the kinds of actions to show in their lives. This is Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That Greek word there, clothe, is actually enduo, which really means sink yourself into, cover yourself in it, or clothe in it. I like to think of it like nestling down into, like kind of like snuggling into that warm sweater. When Sarah was really small, she would read at night before bed. Or not before bed, like we'd tuck her into bed and stuff, and then she'd read for a little while. I remember one night I had a meeting that went late. I came home, kids were already in bed. Bethany said, well, I think they just went to bed. Sarah might still be reading in there. And so I poked my head in to say goodnight to her, and she goes, oh, there you are, Daddy. I just cozied in. It was so cute. Like, she cozied in, like, cozy in to these kinds of clothes, these kinds of things that he's suggesting for us to do. Intentionally put yourself into these things. You don't wake up each day necessarily doing godly actions and avoiding ugly actions. We have to settle into them. We have to decide. We got to cozy in to these things. Decide each day how we'll treat others, how we treat our spouse, how we treat our kids, how we treat our friends, how we treat our coworkers. The list goes on and on and on. How are we going to treat the people that we're around? And first he says to clothe yourself with compassion. Clothe yourself with compassion. Compassion is the ability to see a situation from somebody else's vantage point, to feel what someone else is feeling. Compassion is what leads people to serve others and to give sacrificially. Compassion is the key to changing a broken world. It takes a selfless attitude, and it results in people listening to one another. Have compassion. Now, I see a lot of these signs like, You know, some people are going through a really tough time and you don't know it. You don't know what they're going through. So why are you blasting them? You don't know. Let's just be compassionate to people. Here's another one, kindness. Clothe yourself in kindness. It sounds like a simple word, but it's kind of hard to live out. Kindness is what happens when we're always looking for practical ways to help somebody out, to serve one another. Whether we, like this time of year, maybe shovel somebody's driveway of snow, rake their leaves, mow their lawn, buying groceries for a family in financial need, write a letter just because somebody came to your mind to bless them. Kindness is saying the right thing at just the right time, or taking action when you are in a position to make a difference in their life, to show them that you love them. Kindness is doing the right thing to positively impact people around you. So clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, and humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. Does that make sense? Humility is taking on the kind of mentality that Jesus had, that Jesus taught us, he modeled for us. Selfishness is ugly, and it's the basis of all sinful action. But humility, then, is the way in which sin is overcome. It's the way of Jesus. It's the way of Jesus made a reality into our lives. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. This word comes from a word meaning controlled strength, or you might have heard the word meekness. It's not about being weak. It's actually about being about power. The power comes from the Spirit of God living in us. It helps us control our impulses. In gentleness, our actions express themselves in service to the weak and the powerless among us. This is not a word that describes a wimp. It describes someone who's not afraid to step into injustice or brokenness and instigate change. And the last one, patience. This word can be translated as long-suffering. In other words, like putting up with something for a long time before getting angry or giving up. Clothing yourself in patience allows you to love people who are hard to love and serve people who are hard to serve. Patience is the key to becoming someone who looks like Jesus, because spiritual maturity doesn't happen overnight. It takes a long time for people to grow up in the Lord. None of these attributes come naturally to us. We have to choose them. We have to practice them. We have to put them on. We have to clothe ourselves in them. We got to cozy in to those kinds of clothes. Colossians 3, 12 through 14, putting it all together. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love. Put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Have you ever had a sweater or a shirt that had like a little string on it that was sticking out, and you start to pull it, and like it gets longer and longer, and you can start seeing it's like unraveling, like, oh my goodness, if I keep going, this whole sweater is going to disappear. Have you ever had that? That's called a common thread. There's a common thread running through all those lists of five attributes that I read before, and that common thread is love. We have to clothe ourselves with love, because if we don't have love, then we don't have anything. Elsewhere in his writing, Paul tells us that if we don't have love, then we're nothing. We're nothing but a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Love is the common thread binding together all of the attributes: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Because love is the verb that ties them all together. Love is a verb. In order to really love others, we've got to put love into action. To move from ugly actions to godly one, it starts with love. The Greek word that Paul uses is agape. Agape love. Agape love is something that is the kind of love that will cost us something. The question is, are we willing to pay the cost to live with love? We cannot just say we love people. We must show we love people through our actions. So if we're going to live with love this Christmas season, it has to start with God's love, that God truly first loved us. God himself was motivated by love, and this love prompted Jesus to come to earth in the first place. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. He came to rescue the world. And every action Jesus takes throughout his life and ministry we see in the Gospels comes from a heart of love. Even his death and resurrection is based on a life of love lived out for you, lived out for me. 1 John 4:8-12 says, "The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." We have an incredible opportunity to love everyone around us. Unfortunately, our faith as Christians, the Christian faith, get a pretty bad rap about this because often we don't love well. And so we're seen not as people who love others unconditionally. What we're seen as is what we're against and what we hate and what we, the people that we ignore. So we have an opportunity to show the same kind of love that God has for us, the kind of love that loves sacrificially, that puts on compassion, humility, kindness, patience, and gentleness. In loving others, we make God evident to the world by just showing it. It said, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another, because nobody has seen God at any time. If we love one another, then God abides in us. We're showing God to the world when we show love. The mark of a Jesus follower is someone who's dedicated to embracing God's amazing love for us and allowing this love to overflow into other people. Love is action. So this week, here's our invitation. I want to challenge us to choose one person or one family to offer sacrificial love to put on compassion and kindness, patience, gentleness, humility in the way we treat them. Maybe it's a stranger. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's your brother, says, maybe it's a coworker. I don't know who it is. Maybe it's a family or a person in particular in your family that's especially difficult to love. Maybe that's a person this Christmas season God is saying to you, show my love to them so they can see me in you. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the season that we're in, Christmas, the time of year where we can share in the joy of celebrations. But Lord, may that joy not come just from celebrations, but may our joy come from the fact that you've come to save us, you've sent your Son here on earth, that you have loved us enough to be humble and humiliated as a human being. And so, God, may that love that you have for us overflow from our hearts to those around us, even the people who are difficult to love, even the people we don't know, even the people we struggle with, the anonymous people we see out and about that frustrate us, even on the roads and wherever. God, may your love overwhelm us and overflow from us into other people so that our actions aren't like ugly old Christmas sweaters, but our actions are truly reflective of what your love has done in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can remain seated for this song and just reflect on that message and the love of God.